Thank you for today. We thank you for your word which is coming. We pray that your word will come full of power to transform. May we never be the same even after we encounter your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's begin. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 16. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 16. The Bible says, and on his robe, this is the revelation of God, right? Okay, the Bible is saying that, and on his robe, John the Revelator had the revelation of Jesus, had the revelation of the Lord, and then he's telling us what was on his robe. And the Bible says that he says, on his robe and on his thigh. So he saw this thing on his robe and on his thigh, right? A name written. And the name that was written is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this is relevant. The reason is because, see, throughout the beginning of time, many people had encounter with God. And when they had an encounter with God, based on their experience, they gave God a name. Because it's like, you know, you meet this person and You want to know his name. You see, it's like I meet someone new. The first thing I want to find out is, what is your name? So from the beginning of time, people began to relate with this God that created the heavens and the earth. And some of them, when they encountered him, they realized that this God is a healer. So they will say, Jehovah that heals. Because throughout their experience with him, they realize that amongst the many things that he does, if you say he's a healer, you are right. Because they saw the manifestation of the healing power of the Lord like never before. Then other people will go ahead and say, Jehovah that provides. Because in their own journey, as they walk with God, they had an encounter with the God that provided like never before. So different people encountered God and they encountered different dimensions of the Lord. And then based on the dimensions of the Lord they encountered, they named the Lord. It was Jesus that came on the earth 2,000 years ago and made us understand that God that is in heaven can have sons. You know, one of the things that people don't understand, you see, for instance, there are certain people who don't believe that God, right, can have sons. Because they ask the question, how can God have a son? And they will go ahead and tell you that even nature tells us that someone cannot have a son without, I mean, a woman or a female. And sometimes when you look at some of these arguments, you wonder if they are really thinking. Because there's a being called the amoeba. It doesn't reproduce by mating. Do you understand that? Yes, it is there. Another out of him can come out. Or out of it can come out. And that is the son. Or that is the daughter. Or that is another animal. Which is a descendant of this one. The point I'm trying to say is that it was Jesus that made us understand that we too can call God Father. We can call God Abba as
our source, as our provider, as the one that sustains us. But you see, all these names of God that represents different dimensions of God, if you consider all of them and look at them from that side, isolated, I mean, you look at those dimensions, only those dimensions, and you try to summarize God in those dimensions. So, for instance, if you try to just look at God and say, God is a healer, and you might even argue with someone that says God is a provider, because the dimension of God you were able to see was that God is a healer. What is going to happen is that you are going to be wrong. God is a father. Is it not true? It is true. The same way God is a healer, the same way God is a provider, the same way God is a restorer. All of these are attributes of God. But if you try to summarize God as God is father, you'll be wrong. But you see, it was John that had the revelation, and they made us understand that there was a special name that was written on the robe and on the tie of this king, of this being, of this monarch of Zion. And that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, another dimension that John, the Revelator, saw. And this was a dimension that summarized this whole being that looks confusing because he's so vast that we cannot even fathom. The name that he had was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, if you summarize God as a king, you will be right. You might be wrong if you summarize God as Abba. Because even though he's Abba, he's the source of everything. He's the provider, he's the sustainer. But then in the Bible, there are people that he said, you are ek, you are off your father, the devil. So that means that if you just say God is Abba or God is a father, you might not necessarily be totally accurate, depending on how you are looking at it. But if you say God is King, you are accurate, because God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is the name that was written on his robe and on his thigh. So when you look at the world and you look at how things are, in fact, when you want to know the theme of the Bible, it's just about a king and how he reigns. Follow me carefully. Now, if you begin to look at everything in light or in line to this particular dimension or this particular name of God, you will be accurate most of the time. If not 100%, you'll be close to accurate. See, it is upon this ground that, for instance, you cannot isolate prosperity and teach. Because if you isolate prosperity and teach outside kingdom, you will only be pushing people to rebel. Because you cannot prosper outside the king. Do you understand that? Okay, then let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 to 19. Follow me carefully. Matthew 16, 18 to 19. The Bible says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we know that God is king of the universe. He created everything and he reigns over the whole earth. In fact, if the devil wants to even have an advantage, he wants to exhibit some rulership. His rulership is not independent. See, the way the devil rules, he has authority from God to rule. Because it's not possible for you to rule without the monarch of Zion. But then you see, even though he is king over the universe, there are systems of advantage that he gives to his people that makes his people, even though they are, you see, it's just like how, for instance, the rain when it's raining falls on the unjust and falls on the just. So if it is about rain, he is king of the universe. So he commands that the rain should fall. And the rain falls on the righteous and on the unrighteous. But you see, because he is king, and then he knows how to preserve his own. Because even though he is king, it's not everybody that has submitted to his rulership. So there are a group of people who have said that you are king and we are going to worship you. We are going to serve in your kingdom. These people, what he does for them is that he gives them a system of advantage. It's called the keys of the kingdom. Now, it is that keys of the kingdom that give them advantage wherever they find themselves. Because the keys of the kingdom describes how the kingdom operates. Do you understand that? Because if you understand how the kingdom operates, you will know how to please the king and get the favor of the king. Because you see, what you call prosperity is actually the favor of a king. That a king decided to be delighted in you and decided to give you what you couldn't ask for. He said he has even the capacity to give you the things that you think about. So, the number one thing that as we are rising in life, we must be looking out for is the keys to the kingdom. Because it is the keys to the kingdom that accounts for our uprising in the kingdom, that accounts for our prosperity in the kingdom, that accounts for our moving from one level of glory to another level of glory. And so, this week, I am going to be looking at the keys of the kingdom. And I'm going to specifically talk about three keys of the kingdom. Today, I'm going to begin with the first key of the kingdom, and that is the will of God. The will of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. The Bible says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. And then he's saying that the first thing that you must look out for is the coming of the kingdom of God. In other words, the establishment of the rulership and the dominion of God. It was Jesus that emulated this for us when he came on the earth. The Bible says from that time, he began to speak saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So the first thing that you must be able to look out for, especially when they gave birth to you and you are rising and you want to know how to advance in life, is to look out for the kingdom. That God is king. How does his kingdom operate? And then the second most important thing is to look out for his will. Because after the kingdom comes his will. What is his will? His will is what allows him. It's his pleasure. What God wants to happen is his will. So if you are here, for instance, and we are talking about, let's say, the will of Patrick, we are looking at the things that are in the heart of Patrick that Patrick wants to establish. In every kingdom, it is about the king and how he rules. And the most important thing when it comes to how a king rules is called the will of the king. See, in democracy, you will have many people bringing their will together to form a constitution. So this one brings something, this one brings something, this one brings something, this one brings something, and together it forms a constitution. And that is how people are ruled. But it's not the same with the kingdom. You see, so for instance, you can find that in the constitution, you can find something that is in the constitution that is very wise because a wise person brought it. In the same constitution, you can find something that is very unwise because someone who was unwise brought it. That is why constitution always goes through reviews. Do you know there are things that they are planning on adding to the constitution? Do you understand that? But you see, if you are able to isolate a king, you know, most of the time you are afraid of kingship. The reason is because you have not found a perfect human king before. In fact, it was David that was close to perfection. Even for him, he murdered. But you see, there is someone that genuinely thinks about you. Someone that is full of perfection, is totally perfect, and there is nothing evil that can come out of him. See, if such a person is ruling you, it is great. And so for that system, it is the will of the king that is law, because you don't even know what is good for yourself. So the most important thing you must isolate is called the will of God. Are you here with me? Okay. Now, let me let you know that the reason why we are looking, for instance, at the will of God is because the most important thing or the safest place to be in life is the will of God. And most of us, unfortunately, might learn the hard way. You know, there are many things, there are many purposes, there are many plans, there are many things that are in the heart of man. But listen to me, it is the counsel of the Lord that will stand. In other words, there is jealousy or the jealousy of God, or there are systems that God has put in place to ensure that in the long analysis, it is His will that will prevail. So listen to me, what I'm trying to tell you is this: if you are trying to fight the will of God, you will fight God Himself, because and fighting God, you will not win. And so you will see a lot of people will be casualties because they will not find themselves in a secure and a safe place because they are isolated from the will of God. See, because you see, when God wants to keep you, the reason why, for instance, God can say, "You will, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation." The reason why God can be bold enough to say that is because you are found in the will of God. Outside the will of God, that word is not for you. Because you are a casualty, any foolish demon who is 1 year old, if a witch who was born today, can mess up your life. But unfortunately, in our lives, the number one thing that we fight against is the will of God. And that thing that fights against the will of God is our will. So you will find the average believer not going after the will of God. They are going after their own pleasure because of the things that they want to achieve in life. You know, the woman of God, Sewa, was sharing a story about how, a friend, I don't know if she said a friend or something, went abroad. And then was saying that she was going to abort a baby because in life, if you don't make some sacrifices, you know, nothing should stand between you and then what you want to achieve. See, that's the system called Babylon. See, you don't understand that is a trap from the pit of hell. Because you see, what you are fighting against is something that is bigger than you. And so eventually you will break yourself. Because there is no way you can stand against the will of God. It's too powerful. In the long analysis, your life is going to pass through fire, and the things that you remain are going to be the will of God, the things that fell into the will of God. So my question for you today is that which aspect of your life is in the will of God? There are many of us that are in a hurry in life. We want to achieve this, we want to achieve this, we want to achieve this, we want to achieve this. See, it is God that can tell you go to Egypt. Even though Egypt is a house of bondage, he will use Egypt to raise you because he said, go to Egypt. Are you here with me? Yes. And there are people that also went to Egypt, not because God told them. And they brought up danger. Do you know that Abraham went down to Egypt because there was famine? There was famine. And this was famine that is killing people. Famine. There was famine in the whole land. And the only place that grain was found is in Egypt. And Abraham went to Egypt. He came back with Hagar, and Hagar was the one that gave birth to Ishmael. Now I can't begin to tell you how Ishmael has been fighting Isaac even till now. Now Ishmael is still fighting Isaac because Abraham went to Egypt against the will of God and brought out Hagar. So Isaac also wanted to make that same mistake. He wanted to travel to Egypt, and the Lord said, stay here. And in the time of famine, Isaac would dig well, and will find water. The safest place is the will of God. And I see this thing going around where everybody wants to travel. Everybody wants to go away. You know, we don't want to stay. You see, be careful. Because you see, you might be fighting against the will of God. There are people that, for instance, their destiny, they are supposed to do that. But you must be careful. Because if you allow for your own pleasure, because you want some money, because you want some comfort to lead you, you will go and you will find that you will be a victim of a system that you are not protected from. Because the safest place from the attack of the enemy is the will of God. Now, let us look at the nature of the will of God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. I'm just going to describe how the will of God works. Especially because I heard there's something called the permissive will of God. So I'm going to describe how the will of God works so that you know how it operates. Then I said, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. So here we are talking about the will of God, right? And he's telling us that the will of God is written in a book. Are you listening to me? Follow me carefully. Okay. So we don't know how that book operates. But we know of a book. It's called the Bible. You know, the Bible has one author. That is the Holy Spirit or God. Right? But many writers. Does it make sense? Okay. So, we know how the Bible looks at. So, we can know if God was the one that wrote the Bible. You see, God was the author of the Bible. Then, if he's talking about a book, we can make some comparisons and see how that book also operates. Now, when you look at the Bible, for instance, you will see the lives of people in the Bible. And you will see that there were certain things about these people that were written in the Bible. It wasn't everything that was written in the Bible. You see, the Bible follows history literature. How you write history literature is first of all to isolate the most important event. Right? to isolate the most important event or the most important person, then what you do is that you look out for the things that are relevant to the most important person. Do you understand that? So if I want to write a history of Patrick Opoku, right? Now the subject is Patrick Opoku. So what are the things that are relevant to Patrick Opoku? Now, you cannot mention Patrick Opoku without mentioning Ekwueifuye, because Ekwueifuye is the wife of Patrick Opoku. Now, you see that Ekwueifuye has become relevant in my biography, not because Ekwueifuye by nature is relevant in that sense. Do you understand? The reason why she's relevant in my biography is because her life was intertwined with mine. So the only aspects of her life that are relevant to mine is the will of, is the life that is relevant, that's the will of God. Okay, do you understand that? What I'm trying to say is that when we talk about the will of God, we are talking about strategic relevant moments in your life that God has purposed that certain things should happen or certain things should be. Now, it is not every aspect of your life that is within, in quotes, what we call the will of God. For instance, today you can decide to eat banku or fufu. If you eat ampesi, it's not outside the will of God. So you don't have to pray and say, Father, Holy Spirit, what should I eat? Banku or fufu? Eat whatever you want. Pray and give thanks. Please, do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Okay, but there are specific moments, specific things in your life that are connected to destiny, assignment, and purpose, connected to God, what God wants to do. So you see, in the life of, for instance, Jesus, there were areas in his life that it was silent, that wasn't written in the Bible. It wasn't as if those parts was not part of the life of Jesus. But see, God was trying to isolate the part that was specific or that was towards destiny, assignment, and towards the grand purpose of God. So there are certain things in your life that can be allowed. If, for instance, you do this or that, it doesn't really affect your destiny ordination. So those ones, there are liberality around that. But when we talk about the will of God, it is one. If it is not the will of God, it is not permissive, it is one. You understand that? So God told a man, a king, that you are going to die. You have fulfilled your assignment, you are going to die. Now, I can give you more years to live. Because when I give you more years to live, even though you are living and you'll be doing good works, are you getting the point? You see, it doesn't necessarily affect my assignment for you. You have fulfilled it. So I can add more years to you. Okay, do you understand that? What happened there? Okay, but then there are strategic moments that are in your life. For instance, places where you are supposed to be, ministries you are supposed to join, strategic people you are supposed to meet. You can meet a lot of people. If you like, meet Abigail, meet Yah, meet Kwesi, meet Mensa in the classroom. It might not necessarily be important. But don't meet Pastor Patrick, you'll be in trouble. Don't meet this prophet, you'll be in trouble. Don't meet this strategic person that will hold your hand to where God wants to place you, you'll be in trouble. So if you miss that, you would have missed the will of God for your life. So in the long analysis, the only aspect of your life that is going to matter is that aspect that is directly connected to the will of God. All other parts is not relevant. So when we are talking about your history, when God is reading your history, he's going to talk about the things that you did that was in line with his will. Do you know that Jesus saw, you still see the guy that couldn't walk, who was sitting at the gate called Beautiful? Do you realize that that was where he used to sit? Jesus operated 3.5 years. He didn't heal him. Because what he did was that he saw his father do, and he did. That's why the whole world is full of the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus said. Because for Jesus, every aspect of his life mattered. Now, my question for you is that, where are you in the will of God? See, the way you are ambitious, be careful. Because that ambition might be the reason why you make the worst mistake in your life. The way you are falling in love, be careful. Because people fell in love like that and they miss their ministry. The way you want to rise, be careful. Because people had ambitions like that and they went and occupied certain positions, they forgot about their God. Because you see, as long as the will of God is not in that direction, there is no security. How do we assess the will of God? Psalms 23, verse number 3. How do we assess the will of God? I'm giving you two ways. And then we pray. The Bible says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The path of righteousness, in other words, the will of God. Because the path of righteousness is the will of God. You get the point I'm trying to make? Because it's the path that is in right standing with God, with his pleasure, with his will, with his might, with his wisdom, etc. The Bible says that he leads me in such path. You see, if you want to walk in the will of God, the first thing that you will be looking out for is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you must learn how to follow. First of all, you must be connected to God. Some of you, we all know when we are falling away, when we are doing certain things that is taking us out of the presence of God, we know. Now, the danger is that as we are doing those things, we are falling out of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you are going to live a life that is full of a will that will not count. So you must learn how to follow. You wake up in the morning, you are seeking the face of the Lord. You wake up in the, throughout the day, you are talking to God. You are just in right standing with God. And as you are in right standing with God, you realize that all of a sudden, you didn't know what happened. Then you meet this person that, will lead you where God wants you to be. You understand? Yes, I didn't go to tech. Even though I had tech eventually. The course that they gave me was a course that, I could have done. But you see, because I was walking in the will of God as at that time, because I was in right standing, I was following the Lord, God ordered my steps. And it was because God ordered my steps that I went to Central University and certain strategic moments in my life were activated. I would have missed those strategic moments if I had missed that. In fact, many people that are helping now in this ministry, they are from Central. Do you understand that? Okay. The second thing, John chapter 5, verse 30. That's the last way I'm going to give you. John chapter 5, verse 30. The Bible says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I did not
or I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So Jesus is giving us another way of seeking the will of God. And that is what I want to highlight the most. It is called seeking. He said, I do not seek my own will. I seek the will of the Father who sent me. In other words, the will of God is not going to be lying down on a silver platter for you. When it comes to the will of God, it is your responsibility to seek it out. Because when you seek it out, you'll be rewarded. When you don't walk that path called the will of God, as your life passes through fire, you realize that you will run lost. You will run a loss. But then when you walk in the will of God, what will happen to you is that your life will walk in unison and in fruition. So you realize that all of a sudden, you will meet the prosperity that you need at the right time. You know, my mom was asking me, you know, Patrick, I want to talk to you. You have not asked you this before, but it looks as if you don't want to travel. Why? Why is it like that? You know, I was telling her about the will of God for my life. With what God has called me to, I can only travel, go and come. I cannot stay abroad. With what God has given me. You know, like I was telling you, a great authority that I recognize and respect told me, and was telling me about the fact that he saw a vision of me abroad. And in my mind, God forbid. not because I don't, okay, well, maybe because I don't know what God cannot give me here in Ghana. But the question is this, I have sought it, and that's why I have found that in my own life, I can only go and come. I can only go and spend some few days and come. For my life, God has called, it doesn't matter how Ghana becomes, my life is going to be where God is going to trumpet me, but my life is going to be from Ghana. In other words, no matter where I go to, just like how great men of God, you will see people, they will come back to Ghana because that is where they are appointed place. That Jerusalem that people should wait. Jesus told the people, my Jerusalem is in Ghana here. What am I trying to say? How did I know that? I sought the will. I sought it. There were moments in my life that I would cry out to God, what do you want me to do? What have you planned for me to do? Because I know that is the safest place. You know, the devil can't kill me now. Do you know why? It's because some of the demons I cast out, they can just do this and then you are gone. But you see, I can sleep and come back and come and minister to you again. Do you know why? It's because I'm doing what God has called me to do. So there is enough security for it. I'm not struggling. You understand it? I don't struggle when I come here because it is in line with the will of God for my life. When have you purposed to seek the will of God? Because many of us, we have not purposed in our heart to specifically seek. So, Father, I know you are going to make me great. But right now in my life, where do you want me to go to? What do you want me to do? Some of you, God will say, join this ministry and serve. Father, how do you want me to serve? Whatever they tell you to do, do it. Serve. And you don't know, out of that service, you realize that a great apostle comes out. A great prophet comes out. Out of that service, a billionaire comes out. Because you fell in line with the will of God because you sought it. Can you, like Jesus, seek the will of God? Because there are many things that a lot of us are seeking. See, I told you some time ago that there are certain things that are sought out for, and there are certain things that are added. Unfortunately, many of us are seeking the things that are added, not the things that are sought out for.
there is grace. There is enough grace for people that will. It doesn't matter if it is one square that you are eating, if it is part of the process that God is taking you through. Listen, you can only come out the best. The only way that is going to end is in victory. But if you are choosing your own path, then there is a danger. Because you see, it is not only the devil that you are going to fight against. You are going to fight against the will of God himself. Can you seek the will of God? Yeah, I know you are looking out for what God is going to do in the next 5 years of your life. But can you ask him? And you see, how you know you are working in your own ambition is because, okay, first of all, you know, I want to get, maybe, I mean, let me use, maybe, I mean, what can I use as an example? I want to get money. Why do you want to get money? And you see that the reason why the person wants to get money is because he wants to live a comfortable life. Do you know that Jesus was poured out as an offering? You know, I can be doing 2 jobs. I can be doing 3 jobs. But I can't do that kind of jobs. Do you know why? Because of the will of God. I can go and work. I know colleagues that go to work, for instance, in the morning. Then after that, they go for locum. And they close at 8. I cannot do that. Why? The will of God. Can you find the will of God? You are lifting up a voice of prayer. And you are telling the Lord, the Father, show me what is written of me in my book. Some of you are going to make the worst mistake with the guy that you are about to marry. The worst mistake. With the guy that you are going to marry. And so it's important that you look out for the word of God concerning. Because you see, marriage is a sacred aspect of your life. The next 5 years, the next 10 years, is going to be because of who you married. In fact, your anointing can dry out because of who you marry. Haven't you seen signs? People who have gone through series of things like that and they suffered out of marriage like that. But we are rushing into it. And see, we are doing it carnally. We are looking at certain things that don't really matter. Be careful. Can we seek the will of God? Can we seek the mind of God? Can we seek the purpose of God with regards to situations, with regards to events in our life? Begin to pray. The Father, show me that path in the name of Jesus.